From KUER News in Salt Lake City, this is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. It's hard to pin down the timing, but at some point last year, the managers of a hedge fund that owns the Salt Lake Tribune approached the managers of the Deseret News to renegotiate a long-time working arrangement between the papers. There doesn't seem to be any dispute on what happened. The Tribune reportedly agreed to go from taking a 58% split in the profits to taking just 30%. The big question is why? Why would they do that? If you're the Deseret News, that quote from The Godfather may apply. It's not personal, it's business. Why wouldn't the Deseret News make that deal? Supporters of the Tribune, though, say something underhanded is happening, that the Des is in some way conspiring to strangle its longtime partner and competitor. And that's what we're talking about on the program today. We invite you to join us after the news. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today on the program, we're exploring the latest details in the story about the future of the Salt Lake Tribune. The details of a renegotiated working agreement between the Tribune and the Deseret News came to light some months ago. And it's a curious arrangement in that it drastically changed the profit-sharing equation between the two papers in their joint operating relationship. The Trib agreed to go from a 58 to 42% split with them on top to a 70-30 split with them on the bottom. Over the weekend, a rally was held in Salt Lake to draw attention to this arrangement. Supporters of the Tribune are worried about the paper, which has been struggling lately anyway. They see all of this as a scheme by executives at the hedge fund that owns the Tribune and managers of the Deseret News to shut down the Tribune. The Deseret News, of course, disputes this. They would not join us on the program today. They're apparently waiting for the results of an investigation by the Justice Department before they say anything more than they've said in a statement to us. One part of that statement says the paper remains, quote, committed to the market's demand for multiple editorial voices. Again, we're talking about this story today on the program, and we invite you to join us. 801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. And I should mention, you can also interact with us on Twitter at Radio West. Jim DeBacchus is with us during the program today. He represents District 2 in the Utah State Senate. He was one of the organizers and of the speakers at the rally this past weekend that to draw attention, as I mentioned, to this agreement. And he's joining us here in the studio. And Senator DeBacchus, welcome. Thanks very much for being with us.
It's always great to be here, Doug. Thank you for the invitation.
I want to get a few things out of the way. I want to mention that we contacted the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints with some questions related to their involvement or their lack of involvement in this arrangement, because it's going to come up a little bit later on this program. We haven't heard from them yet, but in all fairness, we just contacted them this morning, so we're not entirely sure if they are going to react. But I wanted to get that out of the way. And I wanted to get a few things out of the way, Jim DeBacchus, in terms of your involvement in this. Are you at all involved financially in this story? Are you set to gain in any way financially from this story?
Well, I'd like to say there's millions in there for me somewhere, but I can't figure out how.
So no.
No.
Okay. And then there's a political question that has come up, and I want to get this out of the way. Brian Schott has written from Utah Policy has written an article that talks about how you're using emails gathered from this Save the Tribune organization effort to fundraise for your reelection campaign. So, are you using this effort to divert people to raise money for your own state Senate campaign?
So, Brian Schott and LeVar Webb that own Utah Policy, which are very, very close to the Deseret News. LeVar was the longtime editor there, and he has a column there. This was their shot at me to say that the reason I'm getting involved in the Trib is to raise money for my election campaign.
Right.
So he put a website up that said, Save the Tribune. We got 15,000 petitioners. And then Brian Schott in the newsletter, the LeVar's lobbying newsletter called Utah Policy, said that I sent out to those 15,000 people an invitation to donate to my campaign. Not a bad idea, but it's a lie. It's just not true. We didn't send one name that was on that Tribune list out. And so the fact that LeVar Webb and Utah Policy is saying that, I think, goes to the nature a little bit. This is getting a little bit dirty, but I'm a big guy. I can take it, you know.
You're a big boy.
Yeah, I'm a big boy.
So you deny
the answer
that.
Is no.
Okay. Let me ask you about this effort, and we'll get to the particulars as we go. What are you hoping to accomplish? What's the idea?
You know, there is no more important issue for the next generation of Utah right now, nothing, than making sure that the Salt Lake Tribune and its 100,000 papers that are printed every single day remain in our Utah community. And you pick education, pick clean air, pick equality, pick any issue, higher education, public lands. This touches on every single issue. It is astonishingly important and critical that we keep these two independent voices in our community that have been here since the 1870s. They've been sparring, they've been competing, they've been going at each other. It is the very core of our state in a lot of ways, having an independent, loud Salt Lake Tribune. And this conspiracy that's happened to kill the Salt Lake Tribune could be a death blow to a lot of really important things for our culture and our community in Utah. That's why I'm completely and absolutely thrown into it.
You use the word conspiracy.
There's no question. You had, through an series of unfortunate circumstances, the Salt Lake Tribune being owned by a New York hedge fund as one of 100 papers. I had a chance to talk to the hedge fund guys. Now, I made about 10 calls. They wouldn't answer. Finally, somebody put me through to somebody, and the conversation went a little like this, Doug. This is Senator DeBacchus calling. Who? From where? Do we own a paper there? And I gave my most passionate argument for leave this paper alive. We need this. This voice is critical. And the guy says, hey, you know, we're a hedge fund. And then I started to bring up the 1870s, and he said, hey, we're a hedge fund. And it just struck me in some way in life, sometimes things strike you in a funny manner. And I said, wait a minute, are you like a reptile? You're like an alligator, and you got these things over your eyes, and you're just looking out over New York, and you're kind of standing there on your tail smoking a big cigar. And he said, yeah. We're a hedge fund. And I started laughing, and he started laughing, and I just kept laughing until I started almost snorting, and he did. The one upfront, total, completely honest participant in all this is the hedge fund, because they're saying, hey.
We're out to make money.
We're out to make money. So don't give me all this values and Utah history and the rest.
Because we're not really interested in that.
Right.
But here's the thing. Aren't you pointing the finger in the wrong direction? I mean, shouldn't you be pointing it more in the direction of that hedge fund, not the Deseret News? I mean, there. Look, if you're the Deseret News, as I pointed out in the introduction earlier, why wouldn't you take a deal like that that changes your profit-sharing arrangement from 58-42? You're getting 42, and then you go to a profit-sharing arrangement that goes to 70%. Why wouldn't you take that? Why doesn't the same apply to the Deseret News as it does to this hedge fund? Hey, it's business.
Well, there you go. If you're Clark Gilbert and you run the Deseret News.
Who's the CEO of the DS? Keep going. Sorry.
He's a guy that they brought in from Harvard to change the Deseret News. And the guy, the mastermind behind all of this, frankly, I think that it's completely his say and his decision we are where we are. If you put an equivalency with these two organizations, the creepy reptile-like New York hedge fund that cares only about money, and that's all they care about, and that's their mission, and that's where they are, and you want to put that same equivalency on the Deseret News, that we're going to kill our competitor, we're going to do everything necessary, we're going to inhale, and we don't care about the community at all, we don't care about the history, we don't care about the voice. If you want to put that rough equivalency, you can, but I think most of us expect more of the Deseret News than we do a New York hedge fund.
The Deseret News points out again that the revisions to the joint operating agreement, that was initiated by the Tribune. You're putting the onus on Clark Gilbert, but they point this out. the hedge fund came to them. It wasn't the other way around.
Oh, so the crocodile wandered over to the Deseret News, and together they devoured the poor little antelope there. And that takes away the culpability? Who cares who talked to who first? They sat down, they conspired, they made a plan, the hedge fund got what it wanted, millions and millions and millions of dollars, and the Deseret News and Clark Gilbert got what it wanted, a silencing of this pain in the butt editorial voice that has been kind of smacking around for the last 130 plus years.
Smacking who around?
Well, smacking the Deseret News. You know, this has been an ongoing, wonderful, delightful.
What do you mean? How are they smacking around the Deseret News?
Well, they have different points of view in our community, and they have.
But are you not talking about the LDS Church, or are you talking about the Deseret News?
Personally, I've had a wonderful discussion with a church leader who said, we saw a presentation, and he said, I didn't know that this would lead to the demise of the Salt Lake Tribune.
I want to come back to that.
I want to say that's an important distinction for me. I think this is a Clark Gilbert Deseret News hatched plan, and I don't see this as a plan hatched on South Temple. I see it over there in the Deseret News KSL building.
But, Senator, how can you disconnect the Deseret News from the Mormon culture here? When you say smacking around, aren't you referring to policies instituted by or certainly supported by the dominant LDS culture?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think that church leaders, from my experience, are busy running a church. They're very busy with ecclesiastical missions. They're busy looking at missionary work and taking care of their religious work, and they leave the secular issues to people they know and trust. And I think Clark Gilbert, with his Harvard Business School degree and his theories of business disruption, has decided he's going to take this academic experiment and bring it to Utah. And while he could do that with the Deseret News, and it's fine with me, the fact that he's crossed over the border and ripped into the very fabric of the culture, which allows us to have harmony and unity and, to a certain extent, peace between our different cultures, and just ripped that apart, oblivious, I think, to what it means. I've had some LDS people say to me, look, the value of the Trib in our culture is it gives non-Mormons and progressive Mormons a voice in a community where in the legislature and in government, in a lot of places, they don't feel like their opinion is even ever heard. You take that away and you replace it with the Deseret News, which has completely changed its mission anyway, and what do you have? There will be perhaps a proliferation of other voices, but they're not going to be contained within the journalistic integrity and within the parameters of the Salt Lake Tribune. And what will pop up like mushrooms might well be incredibly divisive to our community. I concur. We need the Salt Lake Tribune. We need its independence, and we need its spotlight.
But why should the Deseret News care what happens to the Salt Lake Tribune? I mean, the joint operating agreement wasn't exactly working for them. They, you know, that it tended to, at least from their perspective, I think, put a damper on their ability to profit on their operations. But also the relationship between the Deseret News and the Tribune got really contentious for a time. It has gone back and forth over time. The Tribune refused to let the Deseret News publish a morning paper until 1995. So why should there be good faith on the part of the Deseret News now when the Tribune, at least from their perspective, didn't act in good faith in the past?
Well, what you say is a little bit inaccurate. It was the McCarthy family, when they controlled the Salt Lake Tribune, that said, look, if you want to go mornings, you have our permission. What you want to do is build a new press that we don't need that's going to cost $90 million, and you want us to pay for half of it. so you can have a morning paper. So
it's more complicated.
Yeah. That. In other words, have a morning paper. We won't stand in the way, but we don't want to be burdened by that debt for a system now that allows for two papers. Remember, during the McCarthy era of owning the paper, the Deseret News tried to buy the Salt Lake Tribune flat out. That didn't work. And what we're talking about now is an out-and-out buying and killing of the Trib, but it's done with a wonderful flair and sophistication so that Clark Gilbert can look back and issue statements like he did that say, us kill the Trib? No, we want it to flourish within the economic constraints or whatever. And then they completely conspire to make sure that the economic constraints will be such that there is no possibility that the Salt Lake Tribune can survive. I wish they would be as honest as the hedge funds.
Let me ask you how this conspiracy works, at least the way you're thinking about it. Now, it seems on one level fairly simple. If you're a hedge fund, you took over Media News because it carried a lot of debt. So you're trying to clear debt. You approach the Deseret News, you figure this is a way of doing that, of clearing debt, I suppose. Are you following me so far? Does that seem about right?
Totally right.
Okay, so it's a business decision so far. So the Deseret News does what? It gives money.
Right.
It buys the presses. It buys property. How much are you thinking? Any idea?
So the hedge fund—
because we can't find this out.
A man— after the McCarthy era, a man named Mr. Singleton comes in and buys the Tribune with the acceptance of the LDS Church and the Deseret News. He comes in and he goes out and buys 100 newspapers, but it's in the mid-2000s, and frankly, looking back on it now, there could not be a worse time in history to be buying newspapers because circulations are going to go down a lot and revenues are going to go down. So he creates huge debt. Ultimately, he can't pay the debt. The Trib gets lumped in with 99 other newspapers, and a trolling hedge fund who's looking to buy assets with pennies on the dollar buys the Tribune with a bunch of other newspapers. And so what they're interested in is how do we sell these out individually? How do we maximize this asset that we have? I think of it, you're too young to remember, Doug, but there used to be a time when you could buy a little sack full of canceled stamps, and there would be maybe 500 of them in a little sack. And as a little guy, I would go through them and look for treasures, and sometimes you'd find one or two kind of cool stamps in there. So I suppose the hedge fund is a little bit like that. They've got this big pile of newspapers, and they paid a few bucks for it. And then somebody, they're fishing out, no doubt, trying to get rid of all of them. And they fish this thing out. Hey, guys, you're interested? You guys at the Deseret News, you're interested in the Trib? And apparently what comes back from that sonar ping is, yeah, we're interested. And they're interested in paying a heck of a lot more than the market price. So
what makes you say that?
I would say that because we're looking now, as we talk to people, outside observers, and say, given the circulation, given what we think are the revenues.
But you haven't confirmed this. This is speculation.
Now we're moving. This is the first thing I've said that's speculation, other than the hedge fund guys being real reptiles,
okay,
which,
okay.
No, that's not speculation either, Doug.
But you're guessing at what, that this goes above market price from your perspective.
Yeah, this goes considerably above. Look,
which pushes it into the realm of, as you say, a kind of unethical, at least concerning the community, an unethical sort of relationship.
Just the forgiveness of the debt on the press, those are pretty open numbers, what the press cost and what the obligation. Hedge funds do not like long-term debt. It makes it very difficult to get rid of assets. So when the Deseret News said, okay, we're going to forgive all of your debt on the press, and then we're going to give you a big check. In addition, this, I would submit, has the earmarks of being an above-market deal that the hedge fund found very good. And it also explains why the hedge fund would sign the kind of deal that no reasonable, responsible, long-term, ethical owner would sign. I mean, nobody would sign that deal.
That shifts the profit sharing like that, unless they got a chunk of money. Is that what
right,
you're saying?
And it does other things, okay, too. It throughout the entire term that these newspapers have been working together, they've had four members on the governing board. This added another member and put the Deseret News in charge of it. So the day-to-day operations of the sales and of the distribution and of the kiosks are suddenly controlled completely by the Deseret News. Nobody would do that under normal business circumstances.
Unless they got a chunk of money. How much money do you figure?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. But there's something
10? 10 million?
I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. There's a lot of talk out there, but
you have a figure in your mind. Do you
I have a figure in my mind, but it's just in my mind. And, yeah, you know, I'm not a reptile,
okay.
So...
So what would you have expected?
Something else they did. Sorry, Doug. Yeah. One other thing that no other person in the world, and this may be the Achilles heel of the Deseret News and Clark Gilbert. They may have been a little too smart because they also put in there that this new operating agreement that, again, the hedge fund signed, it says that the Deseret News has the right to pick who will buy the Tribune. In the United States of America, you cannot do that. You cannot give your competitor the right to pick your new owner. And on the face of it, that clearly, for most officials, including hopefully Department of Justice, means that they've gone a step clearly too far with that.
This gives you, and we'll come back to this antitrust case or potential antitrust case, or the investigation certainly from the Department of Justice. When we come back in a moment. Let me ask you this, though, before we head into a break, so we do have to get to a break. What should the Deseret News have said to the hedge fund that approaches them with this sweet deal?
Well,
what
would a moral company have said? What would an honest company have said? What didn't Clark Gilbert say? Let's bring the Tribune in on this. They've been our partners since 1951. Let's get the local input of the local part of the Trib.
And we should point out they did not do that. The Tribune managers, local managers, had no idea this was happening.
The editor.
They had to learn it from a reporter.
The publisher was completely clueless. Look, that's the way they do things at Harvard. I get it. What a wonderful marriage here. This Harvard business professor sitting down with the reptiles in New York. They should have met somewhere in between, but there they are. The deal was done. It's not moral, and I think it's illegal.
Utah Senator, State Senator Jim DeBacchus, of course, is with us, represents Utah's 2nd District. We invite you to join the conversation, 801-585-WEST, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today on the program, we are talking about exploring the latest details in the story of the future of the Salt Lake Tribune. The details of a renegotiated working agreement between the Tribune and the Deseret News came to light a couple of months ago. It's an interesting arrangement anyway. It raises a lot of curiosity, and we're talking about that particular story today with Jim DeBacchus, who represents District 2 in the State Senate. He's one of the organizers of an organization that's trying to draw public attention to this renegotiated joint operating agreement. We put out invitations to hear from the Deseret News. They issued a statement. We've mentioned some of that statement. We'll get to some of it as we go along. We also asked requests of to hear from some former Deseret News reporters. They didn't feel comfortable speaking with us either. So we have Jim DeBacchus with us, and you can join us at 801-585-WEST, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. So there are questions raised. You mentioned Clark Gilbert's disruption experiment. And there are questions being raised about whether the shift to a sort of a more LDS-centric focus, you know, they call it a faith-focused experiment, is whether that's credible journalism or not. But it seems that the Deseret News experiment is working. They launched this national edition in 2011. They delivered along with the LDS Church News. And apparently the audience is growing. It seems certainly their web traffic is up. So you talk about this disruption experiment, and it could be said that experiment is working.
Well, I don't have an opinion on Clark Gilbert's disruption Harvard Business School thesis. You know, good luck. I hope it works. Clearly, in our marketplace, we have a very strong newspaper, as newspapers go, and we have a very weak newspaper. We have a newspaper that is has a circulation of over 63,000, and we have one that's struggling to get to 40,000. We have one.
But you went further than that, Senator. What you said is this is quite provocative. You said there's one paper failing in this state, one paper that's in trouble circulation-wise, and that paper is the Deseret News.
No question about it. If the Deseret News didn't have the deep pockets, it would be out of business. And remember, the reason that this antitrust exemption was given to the two newspapers, from a practical point of view, in 1951 and legally in 1971, through something called the Newspaper Preservation Act, it was to save the Deseret News, which has always, always, always been the weak sister. Lower in circulation, much lower in circulation. The revenues, if you look at the revenue that each newspaper brings in and then they split, the Deseret News was always and continues to be by far the weakest contributor to this partnership. So for this weak partner to bludgeon to death the strong partner, the Salt Lake Tribune, it defies market issues. If one paper dies, it ought to be, at least by the marketplace, the Deseret News. That's not what we're seeing here.
The Tribune columnist Paul Raleigh this week raised some questions about the validity of the circulation numbers that are being put out by the Deseret News. They're suggesting that their Sunday audience, in fact, is ahead of the Salt Lake Tribune by a few thousand. But what he's saying is the Deseret News is artificially boosting those circulation numbers to include the tens of thousands of national editions that are being given away to rural papers and others. I guess he's saying that they're kind of cooking the numbers.
The Church News. Yeah, they throw that in, and then that makes the Sunday. So it's a little weird. It's like Parade Magazine insert. That's kind of what Paul Raleigh was saying, and I don't know the facts behind it, but the Deseret News is using that national Church News circulation to beef up their Deseret News Sunday edition, and you know, I went down to BYU recently and saw stacks and stacks and stacks of paid-for Deseret Newses, which were made available free to the students there, and no doubt that's causing the circulation. But whether their circulation numbers are right or not, I have no reason to really believe they're cooked. Their official Bureau of Circulation is barely 40,000. The Trib is 63,000, 64,000. I mean, there is a healthy paper, and it is not. The Deseret News.
801-585-WEST is the number to join the conversation. Someone's pointing out, and I want to make this clear, I thought I had, but it wasn't the Salt Lake Tribune that agreed to the joint operating agreement in October. It was the hedge fund that owned the Salt Lake Tribune. I'll just make that clear. Let's take a call from Hi, who's in Bountiful, Utah. Hi, welcome. Are you there?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm having a hard time. Go ahead.
So I think that's the whole premise of this, is that the LDS Church do what they need to do to preserve their protection of their investment, and they bring in the very, very best, because I think the owner of the Boston Red Sox recently bought the Washington Post or the Boston Globe, and made the offer for the same thing for Clark Gilbert to take over, and he said no. Okay. I think that just to bring in the best mind, because the whole entire industry has changed so much, everything is going online. And so everybody's just having to change, evolve. Even NPR itself has to evolve.
So what you're saying is that it's just an effort to roll with the changes. But it wasn't a conspiracy from your perspective. It was just a way to adapt to the changing environment.
Yeah, it is. It is part of having to change. I mean, there are so many good people that when Clark went in there, they had to let go. I mean, like 50% of their people. From what I understand, I don't know the exact number, but he had to get rid of all those people. And you know, it's not easy. It's like taking a giant tree that's been around for 100-plus years and start pruning some major branches just to keep it alive.
Yeah. What do you think?
You're talking well said, caller, and it's a good question. There's two issues here. One is where the newspaper industry is headed. And how soon will it be online? Remember, 80% of the revenue for the Salt Lake Tribune comes from print ads. That's the world we live in today. So how we're going to transition and how we're going to get how newspapers are going to get into the revenue stream of web-based kind of issues is a broad issue that needs to be dealt with. And let Mr. Gilbert experiment around. I have no problem with that. But when you get to the specifics of our situation, there is nothing wrong with the Salt Lake Tribune. And whatever the new way that newspapers are delivered or read or done in 5 years or 10 years and 15 years, the chances are that the Salt Lake Tribune, which as newspapers go is relatively healthy, the chance of the Salt Lake Tribune being there is great. I mean, the people in this community support and read the Trib. What I have an issue with, and what I think the U.S. Department of Justice has an issue is, the Tribune is not dying the way the Rocky Mountain News died or the way the San Francisco Examiner died. It's dying because a weaker newspaper is stabbing it in the heart and letting it bleed to death. That's what my issue is. Let the market take place. Let the capitalism flow. That's not what's happening. It's just the opposite in the Gilbert approach of killing his competitor.
There are a lot of rumors associated with this story. The most significant one seems to be this idea that somehow billionaire Utah John Huntsman Sr., is interested in buying the paper, was interested, made an attempt to buy the paper. What do you know about that now? In a piece for Salt Lake Magazine, reporter Glenn Warshall said that you had made this announcement as breaking news and then you kind of backpedaled away from it. How are you responding?
Well, there's no question that Huntsman Sr. we're talking about here.
That's right. Did I say Junior?
No.
Sorry.
Just to clarify,
yes.
just so people know. Mr. Huntsman Sr. has been interested that he and Mr. Singleton have been negotiating or talking with the Deseret News. And remember, there is a screwy situation here. I mean, I could give you the name of six people right now, qualified people that could write a check now that are very interested in buying the Trib. The issue is, and it may be the same issue that Mr. Huntsman Sr. is having.
You said six people?
Six people, yeah.
Give me a name.
The McCarthys.
Phil McCarthy.
McCarthy family.
Yes.
Michael Weinholz. We've got, let's see, I'm trying to think who would
you
not
committed
want
to six.
To
I'll let you just give me three. Oh, you've got two so far.
Okay, I got two, and then I'm going through my mind.
You can come
about
back to
who
you
would
want.
Be angry at me saying that,
that's
you know, where we're going with this. But I'll write him for you, and what you can't say, because I don't want to anger people who I'm talking to.
Well, I mean, I think it raises, you know, this question about why would anyone buy this paper under the current conditions? Bob Burnick, for example, former Deseret News reporter, has pointed out, even if John Huntsman Sr. did buy the paper, and I should mention, we contacted Huntsman Industries, Huntsman Corporation, and asked whether or not Mr. Huntsman had a comment on this. Our response from from Huntsman Corporation reads this way. Mr. Huntsman has no comment on this topic pending completion of the DOJ investigation. So he's not commenting either way. But it goes to the question that Bob Burnick sort of raises, which even if he does want to buy the paper, does buy the paper, what's going to change? He's got this terrible arrangement that was struck in October, and a deal's a deal.
A deal is not a deal. Well, first of all, let's talk about that being a core issue here.
Okay.
You've got two parties that are completely satiated. They are happy. The hedge fund in New York, they are thrilled. They got the big check. They're probably still celebrating. You got Clark Gilbert, who shut up or will shut up soon, the editorial voice, or there is a twist here. Some people at the Deseret News have told me that there is a semi-plan which would save the Trib, but it would be like this. The Salt Lake Tribune would be a 2 or 3 times a week supplement in the Deseret News. And then Mr. Gilbert could say, oh, see, we saved the Salt Lake Tribune.
To, what, say face or what?
Well, yeah, and they could sell more advertising that way because it would still be the Salt Lake Tribune.
Now, you're speculating again, are you not?
Here, I'm in speculation here.
Okay. Well, you haven't confirmed any of that.
Well, no, but this is somebody from who has ties to the Deseret News. So, again, that is a speculation. But in my mind, that is not saving the Salt Lake Tribune, clearly. Having it be a supplement within the Deseret News and over the purview of the Deseret News, that's not acceptable. So you've got to look. You're across the table from one of these... they're all men who have considerable means, want to save an independent, some of them strong LDS besides Huntsman. You've got to say, they say, what is the deal? And nobody should get in to a deal that gives 30% to the Salt Lake Tribune. You can't make money. You're going to be out of business. You're going to be writing checks in perpetuity, which is not a good position.
So you've got to get that figured out before anyone is going to buy the paper.
You've got to get that figured out. And the money has already changed hands. So it becomes
That's what I mean by a deal's a deal. So how do you
It's
how do
hard
you go
to
back?
Put that toothpaste back in.
And the only way to do it is the Department of Justice investigation?
So there is a precedent for this. The Department of Justice, in a case that is eerily similar, almost everything is the same.
Now, this is from 2010.
2010. So it's a West Virginia case. The only difference is it appears as though Clark Gilbert learned something from that particular West Virginia case because he didn't buy out the Tribune directly. He put in the conditions where the Tribune can't survive with a 30% of the revenue. So whether the Department of Justice can see the difference between actually killing your competitor and setting up the conditions that will result in effectively your competitor dead. They're smart lawyers. I'm sure they're going to figure it out. So in the West Virginia case, the Department of Justice got the two co-conspirators, the two newspapers that were working under the same agreement, into a room and said, this isn't Senator DeBacchus, and this isn't a bunch of Tribune X employees, and this isn't a Facebook page. This is the United States Department of Justice that is telling you what you did is wrong and it's illegal and civilly we're going after you with the full might of the United States government because what you did is illegal. And then they said, now here's two or three people that are interested in buying the other paper. You make them happy and you change the little conspiracy that you put together and make them happy or you're going to face the brunt of the Department of Justice. Hedge funds don't want to face that. The Deseret News doesn't want to face that. That is what our message is going to be when we head to Washington. Department of Justice, please do the same thing in Utah that you did in West Virginia and coerce those parties to take what I believe to be a conspiracy and undo it. There was also talk, interestingly, and I talked to one of the lawyers involved in that case, who said there was also the whisper of criminal charges that helped to bring the two West Virginia newspapers. You cannot sit down, Doug. Little Harmon's. If there were two grocery stores, Little Harmon's could not sit down with Smith's and say, "Here's the biggest check you can imagine. We want you to go out of business." the Department of Justice would be on that so quickly. That's what's happened here, and it can't be allowed to stand.
Let's take a few calls. Let's take a few calls before a break. Bill is with us in Salt Lake. Bill, welcome.
Good morning, Senator Doug. How are you?
We're fine. Go ahead.
I'm glad you've got into the Justice Department investigation a little bit. My question has to do specifically with that. Over the weekend at the rally, Phil McCarthy, during his part of his speech, indicated that some group that he's connected with, and he didn't say what group, but he said that, and I assumed it was his family or some sort of potential investing group, that had approached the Department of Justice with a proposal to have the Justice Department go in and phase out the JOA over a period of several years. Now, that would indicate a level of involvement in negotiation that it really hasn't been reported on, as far as I know. So, Senator, can you comment on Phil McCarthy's connection?
Yeah, Phil is a good
your connection.
Yeah, Phil's a good friend of mine, and to my knowledge, and I am sure I would know, there's been no direct contact between the Department of Justice and the McCarthy family. I mean, they are, they're certainly interested, but they haven't been active in this issue with the Department of Justice. I wish they would get active, but not that I know of.
Thanks very much for the call. And one more before we go to a break. David is with us in Park City. David, welcome.
Yeah, I was always taught by my debate coach, before you grind the axe, lead with facts. I've heard a lot of innuendo. I've heard a lot of hearsay. Doug even gave you an opportunity to guess what the deal was worth. And he even threw out a number and took the heat for $10 million, and you wouldn't even bite at that. It doesn't seem like either one, you're that well prepared, invested, or have any inside information to what this deal is actually about.
Well, we at SaveTheTribune.com, you can go see the deal. We found a copy of the deal, and there it is. What we don't have
are
money
figures. Have you
confirmed
that that's an actual copy
yes,
of the deal?
Yes, that's an actual copy of the deal. So what I'm dealing with is not speculation, except about the owners of the hedge fund. You can get on there and read it, and it's quite clear what I'm saying. And the revenues switch from 58 to 30%. The operating entity between the two companies gives the Deseret News an additional member where they will control it. And you also end up with the Deseret News having control over who can buy the Trib. Those aren't subject. The fact that I can't say how much was the check that was written, how would I know that? I mean, the Deseret News isn't saying and the hedge fund isn't saying.
801-585-WEST, the number to join the conversation. We have Jim DeBacchus with us, state senator representing Utah's 2nd District. And we're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio, back now with Senator Jim DeBacchus. We've been talking about the latest in the story about the future of the Salt Lake Tribune. Of course, we mentioned this earlier, and I wanted to raise this question again, and that is the role of the LDS Church itself. You have mentioned the Deseret News has deep pockets for this arrangement. They spent a lot of money. You're not sure how much. But this is the LDS Church's money, let's not forget. How is it possible that the Deseret News would engage in an arrangement that would be this extraordinary without the direct consent from the LDS hierarchy?
I don't know. They I try to get in those meetings, and they just refuse to allow me. I am speaking somewhat on speculation. As I said, I had a frank discussion with a church leader who said, I didn't actually know the details on this, and I did not know that this would lead to the demise of the Tribune, at least as the way we know it.
But I get how the LDS Church would say to its business operators, just, go ahead and make money. Don't embarrass the church. Don't, you know, don't do anything unethical or questionable or whatever. But when they're involved in something that has the profile of this, certainly it has it now, why wouldn't it be that they would be concerned about the public relation impact of all of this? And why wouldn't it be that this could be a strategy, or at least the question comes up, by the LDS Church to relieve itself of this thorn in its side, reporters who scrutinize decisions of leaders and their role in the Utah community, a paper who has not been afraid of being critical editorially of the LDS Church or the sort of ruling LDS class in this state? Why wouldn't that be plausible?
It's plausible, and I think some of the there are those within the LDS Church that would welcome the day that the Salt Lake Tribune printed its last edition. So, but there are also much wiser heads that understand that, given the dynamics of the community, that the fact that they get irritated, you know, that things appear there that. Recently, there was an article that this particular church leader brought up that it was terribly annoying to him about there's been a great number of additional missionaries and not so many baptisms. You know, it's embarrassing, but give me a break. You know, it's a passing flight, or different articles appear that seem to bring up the irritation, the liquor laws, some other things. But in the broader context, the wiser church leaders understand that, given the long history of diversity in our state, that this voice is necessary. I mean, the Deseret News, if you—
Wait. Are you saying that you believe within the hierarchy of the LDS Church that leaders are saying, this is a good thing for these articles to happen? There is a good thing for this kind of scrutiny. You're not saying that.
No. How preposterous of the really liberal gay senator to be speaking on behalf of the LDS Church. I'm not saying that at all. I am just saying this is one kind of casual conversation, and it, in no way am I purporting to speak for the LDS Church. I would be more horrified, but they would be horrified as well. So I withdraw any consideration that I am speaking. I'm just saying this was an interesting, thoughtful conversation. And I honestly believe this is a Clark Gilbert, ride the horses, get out there. We're going for it. We're going to make the deal with the hedge fund. But what he doesn't get is this delicate balance we have in our community. And I don't think we've ever had a better time. A more united time between LDS and non-LDS than over the last 20 years. I think it's been wonderful. I hate to lose it.
Let's take a call from, I think Randall is back with us in Ogden. Randall, we don't have a lot of time, but welcome.
Yeah, my quick question is that it seems strange that, you know, what's the proposal of this, the non-DOJ resolution? I mean, we know that the Salt Lake Tribune, yes, they have a circulation of 60,000. Are they actually making enough money, though, where they could survive even at the 58-42 split? I mean, newspapers have been dying across the country. Like, it doesn't seem like newspapers are necessarily a viable business. Is the proposal to, you know, kind of give them a handout, have the DOJ bail them out, and then give them a longer, like, lease on life?
Well, it's an important point to point out that the Tribune was struggling before this happened in October of 2013.
The publisher of the Deseret, of the Tribune, told me, listen to this, this is key to all of the discussion we've had, that the Salt Lake Tribune has never lost money in a quarter, ever, period, never. The Tribune is not losing money when it has the 58%. And remember, the 58% is a better deal for the Deseret News than the Trib if you simply went on circulation and revenue. So at 58%, the Tribune is going to do fine. As an independent creature, the Tribune would do fine. The Salt Lake Tribune is facing the perils of all newspapers, but given market conditions, presumably we would have a Tribune for many generations to come. That's not what happened here. We have a murder.
But they were cutting staff. They were cutting staff before this renegotiated joint operating agreement.
Right.
Significant cuts.
Right. Part of that was due to the hedge fund wanting to snort as much money out of Salt Lake as possible. And second, I'm not there are market conditions which are saying we need to cut back. But I'm saying Warren Buffett is out buying newspapers now because they're returning 8%. And it is entirely feasible that the Salt Lake Tribune could make that kind of return. It is not economics that is killing the Trib.
Let me ask you this finally, about a minute left. This other question, of course, comes up at this matter for the Department of Justice and the investigation, the question of whether this arrangement is even legal. What can you say about that right now?
Well, Joan O'Brien and I are, and a delegation of Utahns are headed to Washington, hopefully next week. We're setting up appointments. We're going to meet with the DOJ. We're going to meet with congressional leaders. By the way, not Utah senators, who apparently are perfectly happy and are even reportedly lobbying the DOJ to approve the Deseret News situation. So we want the DOJ to know that at least there's a contingent of Utahns that would be dreadfully hurt. For many years, these two newspapers have profited tremendously by the allowance of a monopoly, and it's about time that there be a little payback to the community. SaveTheTribune.com.
It's Jim DeBacchus. He represents District 2 in the state Senate. He is one of the organizers of this organization that's trying to save the Salt Lake Tribune. Senator, thanks very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Radio West, a production of KUER News. Technical direction from Mike Anderson. The program produced by Elaine Clark and Benjamin Bombard. I'm Doug Fabrizio.